Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Those of you who know me well know that I read and read a lot. This is one of the things that keeps my mind busy, keeps me on my toes. And there's a person I've been reading recently named Dan Sullivan, and he has this model. He calls it a 4 C's model for learning. And he makes the claim that all learning goes through these 4 C's. So the first one is commitment. We commit to take something new on. But when we commit to take something new on, by the very definition of it being new, commitment leads to fear. So if you're going to keep learning, commitment has to become courage. You have to be able to sit with something long enough. Commitment and courage, when those are in place, those lead to capability. And it's capability that leads to confidence. When we have more confidence, we can commit to new and greater things. Courage, capability, confidence, and the circle continues. Now, one of the things he does say is that many of us have been trained by our schooling, when we have to sit down and take a test all the time, that if we do not have confidence already, then we should not commit. But he says this is the way to get stuck. If we wait for confidence before we commit, if we want to shortcut that fear that requires courage, then we will stay stuck where we are. Today, we're going to talk about the meaning of this long green season that we've just started and invite you into embracing it. So we're going to talk about the commitment that the green season asks of us, about how we're blessed to be a blessing, that this commitment takes courage. And so we are sent to go and bless. Commitment and courage lead to capability and confidence. So first of all, this green season. In our first lesson, we read, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. That first word that God says to Abraham, who will later be renamed Abraham, is go. Abram, from all accounts, has money, he has people, he has sheep, he has livestock, he has everything that he needs right where he is. But God's directive is to leave. To go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. To leave the place of comfort. To go to a place that requires fear, and faith and courage. This long green season that we have just begun is called the season after Pentecost, or ordinary time. This is the season of committing to go. This is the season of committing to growth. Advent prepared us for Christ's coming. Christmastide celebrated Jesus' birth. Epiphany celebrated God's love in Christ being made known to us Gentiles. We remember the visit of the Magi and Jesus' baptism. The time after Epiphany outlined Jesus' good news. Lent called us to self-examination and repentance, preparing us to observe Holy Week, in which we walked day by day with Jesus through his passion, leading to Easter Sunday and the 50 days of Eastertide, where we celebrated Jesus' resurrection and his appearance among the disciples. Then the Feast of the Ascension and the Feast of Pentecost showed us that Jesus would not leave us comfortless, not leave us without direction, and said, sent the Holy Spirit to live with us and guide us. And Trinity Sunday, this last Sunday, reminded us that God's action in Christ has revealed God's true nature. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, united in one being in love. Now, with the gospel worked into us again, we are told to go as Abram was told to go. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. This season is about commitment to going and growing. Abram is sent. He's blessed to be a blessing. This commitment takes courage. This is our second point. So first, God tells Abram to go. Now we are blessed to be a blessing. In our second lesson, Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Righteousness will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. Paul outlines it. The whole book of Romans outlines it, that we are blessed. God has blessed us in Jesus Christ. And in this short passage, he says two of the ways how, that Jesus was handed over to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Forgiveness is, you can imagine kind of going through life like this, that you're created, you haven't sinned yet, you haven't done yet anything yet, you're at zero, and sin puts you in the negative, right? Forgiveness just kind of gets you back to zero, right? The thing is, righteousness requires you to be alive. It requires that you grow into something. Forgiveness, not sinning, is something that any corpse can do, and we shouldn't aim at things that corpses can do, right? Forgiveness, he resets us to zero in his death, but in his resurrection, we are justified. That doesn't mean that we get left at zero. It means that we go with Jesus in his resurrection and ascension and are seated in Christ, as Paul says later, at the very right hand of God. There is nothing you can do to take this away. You have been justified. This is an act of grace, a free gift given to each of us that we claim in faith and baptism. We are blessed. We are beloved. Nothing can take that away from us. But that is just the beginning of the story. Abraham grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Now, it's easy to think that Christianity is finally about me and how I feel. No. We only grow strong in faith as we give glory to God. We only grow up in faith as we share our blessings with others. Jesus has saved us truly and finally and completely. We are forgiven and justified, but faith without works is dead. We are blessed to go and be a blessing. So finally, go and bless. Commitment and courage here lead to capability and confidence. We grow up in our faith. In our final lesson in the gospel, Mark writes, As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. Follow me. It's just like God's word to Abram, go. But here we don't leave Jesus to go and bless. We follow Jesus. We follow Jesus who is going ahead of us and preparing the way for that blessing. And when we follow Jesus, we will often find ourselves in the house of tax collectors and sinners. We will find ourselves among the people who need to hear the good news of God's love for them the most. But when that happens, when we go with Jesus to share the blessing that we have been blessed with, there will be people in our lives who object, just like the Pharisees object. But Jesus replies, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God says this in the Old Testament through one of the prophets. God is pleased by the sacrifice of worship, but the sacrifice of worship without the righteousness of mercy is hollow. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Pharisees didn't understand that they weren't just supposed to keep themselves pure. They were supposed to receive this blessing and share it. They weren't willing to commit. They weren't willing to go out on a limb and follow this Jesus. They could not rise to the challenge of the courage required. So they missed out. We are called to go. We are blessed to be a blessing. This leads to a growth in our spiritual lives. The green season is a time to commit to growth. So what's your next step? What's our next step? I love that one. I'm going to be whistling it all day now. Our next step is always to embrace a rule of life. Now, a rule of life is just a steady pattern of prayer and devotion. And the thing that's nice but also difficult about the Episcopal Church is that there are different levels of rule of life that we are asked to embrace. It begins by being a communicant. That just means you take communion here, right? We record the date of your baptism, and you take communion in the church 3 times a year. You are a communicant member of the church. And for some of us, that is all we can do right now. And that's okay. From there, we can also be a confirmed communicant in the same kind of way. We have been confirmed, but we are called from there to be a communicant in good standing. This is somebody who worships, is present in corporate worship, unless for good cause prevented, works, prays, and gives for the spread of the kingdom of God. This is somebody who's actively involved, who understands that their spiritual life, that their growth, their going in Christ is tied up with this life together. From there, we are confirmed. We become a confirmed communicant in good standing. This is when we are welcomed into the fullness of the church. If we haven't been confirmed, a bishop places their hands on our heads and blesses us. If we were confirmed in another tradition, we are welcomed into this part of Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, it's easy to dismiss these things as labels. But these are ways to help us understand where we are on our spiritual journey. So, where are you in these baseline four things? Is it coming more to church? Is it getting involved in formation? Where are you? And one of the things that I want to set some time after church next week to talk about is another way of deepening that practice, that relationship in Holy Spirit with God. And this is this comes with an idea of embracing a personal rule of life, which means worship, which means daily office, which means personal prayer. It means embracing the fullness of our church's rule of life, the Episcopal Church's rule of life, and tithing. It means taking time out of our days to come to worship on special feast days. Being involved in ministries as leaders or actively engaged, being in formation. This is a way of us deepening our walk with Christ. Participation in this is actively working to incorporate our faith into all aspects of our life. And if you're curious, if you want to know more about this, if you want to understand what it would mean to journey with a group of people deeper into the spiritual practices of the church, then I invite you to join us after church next week, and we will talk more about that. But no matter where you are, no matter where you're being called next, remember that commitment requires courage. That means if you aren't committing to something that scares you a little bit, you aren't growing. Commitment requires courage. Courage. When we commit and embrace the fear of change, we develop new capabilities. We grow up, which leads to new confidence in our life in Christ. The green season is a time for growth. So, sisters and brothers, what's your next step? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.